Much coming back. I mean, these people are on extended vacations. Okay, we are at the Mishnah Mem Amud Beis. Kol Sheyeshna B'Mikra B'Mishnah B'Derech Eretz. Anyone who learns Nach Tanach, Mishnah, in those days there was no Gemara. So Mishnah meant Halacha, which is what Mishnayos is. It's Halacha. Except we can't paskin from it because we don't understand Mishnayos, and we don't know who the paskin like, so we need the Gemara, and because we don't even know how to learn Gemara well, we need Rishaynim, and then the Shulchan Aruch. But Mishnah is the way you learn Halacha. So Tanakh is to learn Mikra, and Mishnah is Halacha. U'b'derech Eretz is the Machlokes Rishaynim. Rashi Memalu Medalu says Meraderech Eretz means to have something to do, a business, and not a business necessarily, a job. Something that earns a person a living that nothing to do with being dependent on others. He's not sitting around and doing nothing. People who do nothing are not healthy. Not healthy for society. That's how Rashi learns. The Rambam learns it means he has midas tovus. He doesn't lose his temper. He gets along with people. That's how the Rambam learns derech eretz. He's able to interact with people in a safe, good way. That's how the Rambam learns derech eretz. Rashi doesn't say anything. There's no Rashi in the Mishnah. But in Malav HaMalav HaMerit Hashem, we will run into a Rashi that says he's busy. He has busy. He keeps himself busy. Somebody who's not busy does the wrong things. Because people who have nothing to do have nothing to do.
Why did Rebbe retract his initial?
Because that's not what Rashi says. Rashi is not stressing that he'll steal or do something like that. Rashi is stressing, we'll see when we get to the Rashi. It's clear in the Rashi that he's not occupied. We want a person occupied. If he's not occupied, he's not good for society. So I retracted it because it was wrong. But the Rambam learns it means he gets along with people.
Wrong. It's not Rashi.
But nobody says it. The Rambam says it's getting along with people. And Rashi says keeping yourself... That's not what anybody says here. That's what I'm trying to say. This is... Dr. Harris, you have any right in the world. If you want to say your own shot, you're more than invited to say your own shot.
Harris means having
not on this... I didn't... Again, I didn't do research into every Mepharish that there is. On the page when I was preparing, there were two pshatim brought down. The Rambam and Rashi. What does the Heiliger Archscroll say derech eretz is?
Ethical behavior.
What?
Ethical behavior.
Ethical behavior. That's the Rambam. The Rambam learns derech eretz, and the Bartanura also learns, means ethical behavior. Thank you. I said getting along with people, but that's the same thing, ethical behavior. Does he bring anybody that says you're upset? No, that's what I'm saying. Nobody says it. I can't say...
Find a source here.
Fine, okay. If you get back to me, please. And if not, I'll just say, next time I learn it, I'll say this to Rambam, Rashi, and Dr. Harris. Right? Yes?
No, I was going to say, you were saying getting along with others. Rabbi Fulman brings down that his dealings with those are carried out in a pleasant manner. So all these...
Same thing.
Exactly.
Anybody who's not, I'm sorry. A thread that is three deep, meaning it's made out of three threads, make a rope or a strong thread, it doesn't rip because it's a stronger thread. Is not part of society. The Pharisee Strong says something very sharp. He said he should live in the desert because he's more dangerous to people than wild animals. A person who's Leib Mikra, Leib Mishnah, Leib Yishuv is more dangerous than a lion. So you might as well go live where the wild animals are living because he's detrimental to society. That's the lesson of the Tversi Strom. Not the Gemara Baiter. Now, interestingly enough, to my Shalom,
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi, how can that be? How can that be? How can that be that someone who does two out of three is actually detrimental if his derech eretz is positive toward people and he has some degree of knowledge? How is he so, how is the balance so negative that he... God, I'm sorry.
Sorry. If I understood this correctly, the Mishnah is saying if you have none of the three, you're dangerous to society.
Ah.
See, you understood it to mean if you're missing one of the three. I think what it's saying is if you have none of the three, then you're a danger to society.
I'm reading the English, and to me, I took it the other way. The English translation here is anyone not involved either in the study of Scripture or Mishnah or in the practice of ethical behavior. So
I understood it again to be none of the three.
Okay.
See, because I think what it's saying is extremes. If you have all three, you'll be strong. If you have none of the three, you're not part of society. So that's how I understood the Mishnah. Again, that's how I understood it. If you have some of the three, not of the other three, you don't have the attribute of Leib Meheru Huchayte. You don't have that guarantee, so to speak. But at the same time, you don't say on him Einam and Ayishav. So I understood the Mishnah as setting the extremes. That's how I read the Mishnah. Now the next piece of Gemara, is really going on the previous Gemara. The Mashal says that it's really, I don't think the Mashal uses the word printed in the wrong place, but it has nothing to do with this Mishnah. It has to do with the previous Mishnah, or the previous Gemara. So it's as if the Mishnah wasn't here, and we're going to have the next piece of Gemara, and then we should get to this Mishnah. Amar Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, L'mat Tzadikim Nimshalim by L'mazeh. How are tzaddikim compared to in this world? The Elon Shakula Emid B'makam Tara, to a tree that's rooted into a place of purity. The Naifai Naifal B'makam Tumma. However, its branch extends over a kever. So the tree itself doesn't pass on Tumma. But one branch of it extends out of its area to a place of Tumma. You don't want the tree to be passing on Tumma. Again, trees don't get punished or rewarded, but it's a muscle. So what happens is, what you do is, Nixus Naifai, Kuloi Aimed B'Malkam Tara. Cut off that branch, and then you have nothing to worry about that tree, because then that tree is not passing Tumma. The muscle, and again, this is a muscle, right? If you go, a person goes to Beit HaKvaras in Cleveland, young Israel, part of the plot in the Mount Olive has a way the Kahanim can go to Kvarim, because they made it with a way that there's a road that's 4 amas away from each kever, and there's no trees hanging over it. If a branch would go on top of it, they would have to cut that branch off, because that branch is a makom tumah. You cut it off, then the tree is safe, and it's not expanding tumah, right? So we're using that as a metaphor, if that's the correct English word, for what tzaddikim have, which means, kach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Yisur Matzaddikim Baruch Mazah. The Rabbanu Shalom brings, Rachmanu Litzlan, it's saying it as a positive, but when people suffer, it's hard, Baruch Mazah, Kadosh Yisur Baruch Mazah. It's to remove the tumah, so when they enter the next world, they should be kuloi tahar. Shanamar, V'haya Reish Yischa Mitzar, your beginning will be small, but your end will be very large. In this world, the tzaddik, Rachman al-Islam, might suffer something, and I say Rachman al-Islam, not because I'm questioning the Rabbanu Shlomo, but just that we don't want anybody to suffer Yisurim. It will suffer Yisurim. And in Olam Haba, he'll gain the reward that he doesn't have to be cleansed. So therefore, it's like the tree that you remove that one branch that spreads tumah. The whole tree is rooted in a cemetery. The knife in Rakan Lamakam Tara. There's one branch that's out of the cemetery. Nixus knife by Kulaim Bimakam Tumma. Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu Mashpielim Tribal Rishon by Lamazat. He gives them good in this world. Kadeh Litardam Aloy Rishim Lamadrega Tachtaina. To lower them to the lowest level, because they have no schusim when they get upstairs, then their Gehenim is worse. Because some people, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, we hope most people, even if they need Gehenim, it's a temporary thing. They go to Gehenim and they're out of there within a year, and they go to Gan Eden. However, if a person's a Rosh Hagomer, he can make it that he stays in Gehenim for a longer period of time. And again, I am not equipped to deal with this beyond my pay grade. I'm just quoting a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says, Nidin L'dayre Dairis, there are some people that are there for long periods of time. So therefore, this person who got all his schar in Olam Hazeh could end up in the lowest madrega of Gehenna. Shenemar, yesh derech yoshe lefnei ish. There seems to be, there's a path that seems great in front of the person. But v'achrisa darkei mavis, the end of that path is the way of death. Rashi. Look to Rashi, and Rashi's all the way up to the top, about three, four lines into the narrow lines. L'met tzadikim zayim v'ayla mazeb yisurim habam aleim, when they suffer, rachman al-lislan, v'noifei kleim emat mimenu, a little bit. Niktas mimenu noifei, kach nefram and tzadikim atavayne shebiyadam. The few sins that they have, v'nim tzukulam nekiyim, they're pure. L'mat rishom zayim v'ayla mazeb, betreivish mashbiyim lehem, they give them good. Noifei maat mimenu, av elu yesh biyadam miya tzayvis eschuyas, they have very few tzayvis eschuyas. Niktas noifei kabolus choram, receiving their reward, he tzitzas noifam, is cutting off that branch. The madrega, the French word, kaderach sh'aisim, now here I didn't understand the Rashi clearly. Kaderach sh'aisim madregas l'charitzin sh'svivois ha'migdolim. Now I thought charitzim are ditches. They make steps to the ditches, but then Rashi says, kishim magbiyim karkiyasam, when they raise the ground. So I'm not sure whether Rashi is comparing it to steps into a ditch, or to steps up to a top of a mound. I'm not sure. I always thought charitzin is a ditch. I mean, I had a raya from Gemara Baba Kama. Charitzin is a ditch. So I thought that they make steps to the bottom of the ditch. But then here Rashi says they make steps when they raise the level of the ground. Not sure what he means by raising the level. Does he mean that when one is in the ditch, they look up, it's a raised level? I mean, is it a down? Is it steps from the bottom of the ditch, or is it the steps of the ground level up? Rashi seems to give me two things here, and I'm not sure how to read it. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, when one digs a ditch, one of the things one can do is make raised banks on the side of the levee.
Could be that there's both. There's the ditch, and then there's the side of the ditch is like a mound, and therefore you need steps to get to the top of it. Could be. Let's think about it, right?
What's the metaphor
Rashi? Which Rashi? I'm sorry? Well, Rashi is talking about the word the Madrega Tachtoina. So he's saying that there is a steps up and down in Gehenna as well. And the Rosh Hagomer gets to go to the lowest level. Now Rashi is just translating what Madrega has to do here. What is Madrega? So Rashi says, like steps. Now we go to Pshat in our Mishnah. Meaning this piece of Gemara, the Mashah says, really was a continuation of the Gemara before the Mishnah. But now we're going on this last Mishnah that we just had, of Koshein, Aleib Mikra, Aleib Mishnah, Bzer Cheretz, Aleib Heru Hu Chayte. Ukvar Hayu Reb Tarfon Iskainim, Mesubim Balias Beis Nitzah Belud. Reb Tarfon and Iskainim were leaning, which means they were together, in the second floor of Beis Nitzah in the city of Lud. Just to point out, what difference does it make where they were? Like the Gemara spends time telling you, this is common. They were here, on the second floor, in this house, in this city. I think this is just to stress the accuracy of the story. The Gemara is very accurate. It means if we know where it took place, we tell you exactly where it took place. Meaning we are very accurate in our transmission here. This story is very accurate. Accurate to the point that we're telling you exactly where this conversation took place. Nishalu Shaila Zubifneim. They had the following question. Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol? What is greater, learning or keeping mitzvahs? What is greater? Nana Reb Tarfon v'yamar, Maisa Gadol. So Reb Tarfon said, actions are greater. Nana Reb Akiva v'yamar, Talmud Gadol. Reb Akiva said, no, learning is greater. Nana Kulo v'amru, Talmud Gadol, Sha Talmud maybe lidei Maisa. Talmud is greater because Talmud brings towards action. So Rashi explains, that means you get both now. You learn and you keep. Meaning it's impossible to keep mitzvahs without learning. So learning enables you to keep, so you can do both. Actions are only one half of the thing. So the way Parshat Shat in the Gemara is saying, the maila of Limud HaTorah is because it teaches you how to act. So therefore it's greater because it allows you to act in the proper way. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon is saying, granted that you need the learning to get to the Maisa, but the Maisa is the goal, and therefore the goal is greater. That seems to be the Machloekis according to Rashi.
What's Kulam Va'amrim?
Sorry?
What's Kulam
Va'amrim? Nanukulam, all the Tanoim there agreed to Rabbi Akiva. Nanukulam, they all responded, and they said, the Talmud Gadol Shmeva L'dei Maisa. That is the... So Rashi learns, we have to learn Rashi first. Beis Nitzah Shema Ish, the name of the owner of the house.
Did you skip to Rashi?
Which Rashi?
Yesh Derech Lefnei Ish?
You're right. Yesh Derech Yashi Lefnei Ish, Shemrayim Rishom Shavatsam, when the Rishom see that they're going well, Niris Darka Beinayim Yishara, they think they're doing the right thing. V'achris Nishalais Yishava, Hazman Is Darka Mavisaisa. But unfortunately, the result is that they go right to Gehenna. Beis Nitzah Shemesh, Shatamad Beveli De Maisa, Nimtzah Shneim B'Yadlein. Comes out that both are in his hands. Tysus learns, and he asks the Kasha from the Gemara in Baba Kama that says, that seems to say Maisa's Gadol. So Tysus says that, the pshat in this Gemara is that to teach others is greater than Maisa. To learn himself is greater to do Maisa. That's what Tysus' first pshat. Tysus' second pshat is, if he wants to know what he should do first, he should learn first. Talmud Gadol means that's the first thing we tell a person to do. Because without learning, he doesn't do it correctly. If you don't know Hilchos Shabbos, you can't keep Shabbos correctly. If you don't know Hilchos Treifos, you can't keep Kosher and Treif correctly. So if a person asks, what should I do? First thing we tell them is learn. You should know what to do. That's how Tysus learns. My Rebbe was Madaik from the Rambam, Rabbi Weinberg. The Rambam holds that this is a different, that the Gemara is saying a different thing. What is the Chiddush of Talmud maybe L'dei Maisa? We didn't know that. We didn't know that to do mitzvahs, you have to know what you're doing. So he was Madaik from a Rambam. That the Rambam holds, and this is the pshat in this Gemara, according to the Rambam, the way my Rebbe taught it to us, that when you learn Zvachim, you keep Shabbos better. I use that as a mashal. Meaning, Talmud maybe L'dei Maisa doesn't just mean, if I learn Hilchos Shabbos, I can keep Shabbos. That's obvious that I can't keep Shabbos unless I learn Hilchos Shabbos. Women who don't have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah also have to know Hilchos Shabbos. They have to learn Hilchos Shabbos. I can't keep Shabbos if I don't know what I'm doing. I can't keep tefillin if I don't have kosher and tefillin. It's obvious that I'm going to have to know how to put on tefillin. But the Gemara is saying, according to the way my Rebbe understood the Rambam, is when you learn anything, it enhances your shmiras ha-mitzvahs. Not directly what you're learning, but Talmud has in it that maybe l'dei maisa. If I keep put on tefillin, that doesn't help me learn. If I learn Zvachim, it helps my tefillin be a better mitzvah. If I learn Menachas, I keep Shabbos better. Talmud is a maybe l'dei maisa means Torah has inherently in it a power that it adds to the person's spirituality that he does his mitzvahs better. Whereas doing a mitzvah will not necessarily enhance his learning. That's how my Rebbe learned Pshat according to the Rambam as a raya from the Rambam. From the Perek Aleph and Hilchos Talmud Torah, that's Shat in the Gemara. But that's not like Rashi, it's not like Tysus, it's the way my Rebbe understood the Rambam Shat in the Gemara. Not the Gemara Vayit. So Rashi has a problem. If the goal is Maisa, so why is Talmud greater?
That's how you need that to be able to do the Maisa.
So again, but the Maisa is the goal.
Again, you can't do the
mice
until you learn.
Why is learning become bigger?
The question here is what's more important?
If Pesach brings up Shad, that means what do you do first? And Rashi seems to say which is the greater of the two. It's a very difficult, nobody's saying, do one, not the other. Chas v'shalom. We don't learn and not keep mitzvahs, and we don't do mitzvahs and not learn. So the question is, what is the Gemara stressing here? So Tosfos compares it to Gemara Baba Kama, which talks about when a person's nifter, what can we say about him? Kayim, Lomad, Limeid, different things. Which is the higher level to say about him? Tosfos learns that we say a person learned himself, that he kept mitzvahs is greater. That he taught others is greater than that. So Talmud, maybe the Emaisa means when you teach, you get others to do mitzvahs. That's Tosfos's first shot. But the second shot is, that the person wants to know what I should do first. Should I start keeping mitzvahs, or should I learn? And we tell him first learn, so you should know how to do mitzvahs properly. Rashi seems to say, Talmud, maybe the Emaisa means, because that way you'll keep the mitzvahs better and you'll have both, whereas if you just concentrate on Maisa, you won't have the Talmud. That's how Rashi seems to learn. This way you have both, this way you only have one. Dr. Kumarabaitu. Tanya, Reb Yitzchak Eimer, Gadol Talmud. Talmud is great. Shekadam l'chala abom shana. We had the mitzvah of Talmud Torah 40 years before we had the mitzvah of Challah. Challah started when we got to Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah started as soon as we received the Torah, 40 years before. The Trumas of Maizus Chamishim Barba. Because the Trumas of Maizus started after 14 years in Eretz Yisrael, which is 54 years after Kabbalah Torah. The Shemitin Shishavachas. Shemitah was 7 years after they got the land in Eretz Yisrael, just 21 years after they got into Eretz Yisrael, which is 61 years after Torah, Matan Torah. The Yovel's Meir V'Shalosh. Yovel happened 50 years after they got into Eretz Yisrael, which makes it 103 years after Matan Torah. Frek the Gemara Meir V'Shalosh Meir V'Arba Haven. 50 plus 14 is 64. I'm sorry, 50 plus 14 is 64 plus 40 in the Midbar, it's 104. Yaivu's 104 years, so why are you saying 103? So the Gemara Ksarva Yaivu Mitchilasa Mishamet. Because Yaivu does its thing as soon as Yaivu comes. So the Mela, it's 103 years. The 104th year was Yaivu, but Yaivu accomplishes freeing all the Avadim and returning all the lands as soon as it comes. So the Mela, it's 103 years after they got the Torah. Rashi. So Rashi, Kshiyatzim and Mitzrayim, Gadol Talmud, Torah Shekadim L'chala Abom Shana. Kshiyatzim and Mitzrayim, Nitin L'ham Torah B'chaydash HaShlishi. They got Torah in the third month. U'b'chala L'nitzchayim HaShenichnu Sularetz. They didn't get the Chi of Chala until they entered Eretz Yisrael. The Zubim B'v'yacham. B'yam Amar, we had it earlier. Mishuna B'yazum, he called B'yashim HaTorah. This expression of entering Eretz Yisrael is different than any other time in the Torah. The Chzibu Kisavayu. Everywhere else it says Ki V'yacha Kisavayu. Here it says B'vayachem. V'kan Emer B'vayachem. Mishenichnusullah. The Chala happens as soon as you enter Eretz Yisrael. But Trumas U'Maisras La'achar Kibush V'chiluk. Trumas U'Maisras didn't start till after they conquered and split it. The Chzib Tua Zarecha. Your grain Shekel Echad Makir Chalkai. Everybody should know his chelik, then you dalit shanim, which is 14 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael. Har nun dalit. Now this is a big chiddush, because when they split it, it wasn't shot that nobody had land till they split everything. It took 7 years to split Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure that some people got their land earlier, and some people got their land later, right? Let's say Lamashu Shevet Yehuda got their land first. So Yehuda already had, each one had their plot of land, while Shevet Dan might not have had it yet. Yet it's mashma that the Chi of Trumas and Maisa started when everybody had their land already. That's what it's saying. That if that is, it's not considered yours till everybody has their chelik. Till then, you might be on it, but it's still not considered yours. It's a chiddush in Rashi. It's a chiddush in Rashi of Chat the Gemara, because the Gemara says it didn't start until 14 years later. Rashi's answering, didn't some people get it earlier or some people get it later?
Whatever happened to that word Moshe?
Oh, by Truma, it says Zaracha. It was Zaracha.
I thought the whole thing of Yisha was the word Moshe.
But first it was a Shaila, so I'm learning by Joseph, I mean, they've been put for it. It's not like it's not on what Moshe meant.
For myself,
I never had this pasuk. We never had this before.
It doesn't say Moshav, it's by Trumas and Maizras. We didn't discuss Trumas and Maizras. We didn't cover every mitzvah in the Torah 3 blot ago.
I understand. What I'm saying is that Chala we did, what was it referring to?
It didn't say Maisha by Chala either.
I know. You can't Chala this because it's a different word. Key. It's
Bevayachad.
Good. And all the other two were Arla and...
Again, I don't know why in the world you're bringing Mesh Mesechem in here. It doesn't say Mesh Mesechem at Ruma Meister.
I'm asking on the Gemara itself. We brought before, right?
Right.
Now, Trumas and Meisters.
We did not discuss before.
We brought Orla and.
Kiliak
Karam.
Right?
What's
that in for what?
Well, we could have brought that in also, right?
We didn't talk about it there. What do you want me to do? I'm trying to figure out what you want.
No, I'm just trying to. I could have put in, instead of Prumas and Mice, I could put in Orla and Klai Karam also if I wanted to, right? It's all the same thing. It's all.
I don't know. I don't know if it says Meshavas by Orla and Kiliak Karam anyway. I don't know. It says Meshavasechem by Chadash. That was the one place it says Meshavasechem.
Okay, Chadash,
you're right. Kardesh could have said that it's not like, according to one man, the Omar, it's not like to have to 14 years. Correct. I'm trying to figure out what's bothering you. I mean, the Gemara is not trying to tell you it's knowledge now. It's not showing off its knowledge. They have to bring every mitzvah in?
Just bring mitzvahs that, whatever mitzvah we have,
14.
What?
Just like,
meaning, why doesn't he say Shabbos was there anyway 40 years, the same time as Matan Torah? So why is Torah bigger? Now, the fact that mitzvahs were given earlier gives them a certain chivas, but you're asking many mitzvahs were given earlier. Only the agricultural ones were dependent on later time. I don't know.
That's a question in
of
itself. Were mitzvahs given prior to
Matan Torah? Not prior. We're talking about at
Matan Torah. No, I think that's.
No. He's talking about at Matan Torah. No. He's talking about at Matan Torah. He's asking.
Yeah, there's a sea change in everything that was done at the moment of Matan Torah. I think what Avraham may have been asking, but I'm not sure, is where was the inception of each of the mitzvahs? The inception was at different times. Various agricultural mitzvahs, which is what the Gemara is saying.
I'm not sure what he was asking, but that's not the point. I mean, I don't think he was asking what. What Feitel was asking is many mitzvahs started at Matan Torah, not only Talmud Torah. The agricultural mitzvahs started later, but Shabbos started before, keeping kosher started before, Tefillin started before.
How would the nature of keeping Shabbos change at Matan
Torah? Again, I think we're talking apples and oranges. We're not talking pre-Matan Torah.
I agree.
The Gemara is saying Talmud Torah is bigger because it came early, and the other mitzvahs came later. So it's bothering Feitel is that many mitzvahs came at the same time as Matan Torah, the same time as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So why is Talmud Torah greater than Shabbos? So what are we trying to accomplish here? We're trying to prove that Talmud Torah is greater because it happened X amount of years earlier than the following mitzvahs. We could say this about a lot of mitzvahs that happened X amount of years before the following mitzvahs. That's what's bothering Feitel. I don't have a good answer. Back to Rashi. Umesham etchilu limne shmitin. Because I mean, Be'erichim also shmitin l'soyv sheva. They made shmita 7 years after the 14 harisamak alav shanim, 61 years after Matan Torah. Ulebesayf nun, and 50 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael and split the land, So Yaivo, Hari Kuf Gimel, that's 103. Frank the Gemara is not 104. Mitchilas and Mishamet, Mitchilas Hashanah, Miyam Kippurim, Avadim Niftarim, the Avadim are sent home, the Sadis Chayzvas. Adai L'Avra L'Mem Test, it's only 49 years since they started counting Shemitah. The 50th year, the Rashi, an added knowledge of a Shvius, Einem Hashemetas Ela B'Seifah. Rashi is bothered, so why do we say that Shemitah is after 61 years? Shemitah is after 60 years. Shemitah was year 61. Teretz is, the effect of Shemitah canceling loans happens at the end of Shemitah. Whatever Yovel accomplishes happens in Yom Kippur. Whatever Shemitah accomplishes besides the Isurim, canceling happens at the end of Shemitah. The Chiv, the Kate Shevashonim, the Sayyid Shevashonim, Koshon, the Shvius, the Minyan Samach Aleph, the seventh year is included in the 61 years. I don't have a good answer to Fritz's question. I wonder if anybody at the bottom asks this. Does he bring anybody to ask that question? I think it's a great question. I didn't notice anybody ask it, but I think it's a great question.
You said that
Talmud
Torah started in Torah?
Yes.
Was a mitzvah at that day or later on? Moshe told him.
No. As soon as he taught him that Sarah Sadibra started Talmud Torah.
Later on.
Obviously, the more he taught them, the more they was to learn.
At some point in the Torah, it said he has to learn Torah, but. In other words, you're saying it's all inclusive. The Sarasadivas, with all the Tag Mitzvahs.
Again, did they know everything at that point? No. But they knew the obligation to start learning Torah. Theoretically, you can argue that it even came before Matan Torah, because it said they went 3 days without Torah, and they were thirsty for water. So whatever that was, what Torah was at that point, I don't know.
Well,
but obviously, there was a mitzvah of Talmud Torah already there.
In other words, to learn the three mitzvahs that were...
Whatever they were given, they had to learn the halachas of. I grant you that as he taught it to them, they knew more, they had to learn more.
The Torah was given in pieces, that's right.
Again, whether the Torah was written in pieces or written, we had a machlokes and mesechtos good. Whether it was written down as it happened or written down at the end of 39 years, 40 years. That's a machlokes and mesechtos good. Whether Moshe taught it, it's mashma that he taught everything in Sinai. All mitzvahs were taught in Sinai. And then reviewed all the time.
They were taught in
Sinai. That's what Rashi says at the beginning of Parshas Bahar. That every, all Kol Hiseyim, Pret Hiseyim were given in Sinai. They were in Sinai for a year, almost a year. From Rosh Chodesh Sivan to Chav Iyar.
Right.
During that year, Moshe Rabbeinu taught up all 613 mitzvahs.
And then during the progression of time, they were given the mitzvah.
They were reviewing them. They were given to them then. That's what Rashi tells me beginning of Parshas Bahar. Yes.
I may have misunderstood the Rashi, which you're referencing. But I thought that meant that they were taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, who then had to give them out in allotment.
This is off the topic. It's a machlokes and mesechtos chagiga. How much was given at Sinai, and how much did Moshe teach them later on? It's a machlokes and mesechtos chagiga. Tanoim, machlokes tanoim.
Certainly, everything itself given somehow to at least certainly Moshe Rabbeinu.
Again,
there's
a machlokes. Again, before we say definite things, we have to look up the Gemara Masechtas Chagiga, where the Gemara brings the Machlokes Tanoim, where the Kolos was given in Sinai and Pratis were given late in Ayel Mayed, or Kolos and Pratis were given in Sinai. Rashi in Abahar is working with one of those two opinions. It's a Machlokes and Masechtas Chagiga, so we're not here to pick sides in the Machlokes, even though Rashi did, by explaining the Pasuk one way.
Even in Chagiga, to Moshe Rabbeinu per se?
Doesn't say. That's your speculation.
That although Rav Sajja includes all 613 in the Asura.
True, but that doesn't mean they were said out the Farish. They were included in that.
That's my point exactly.
Okay, that doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu knew them all. I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe he did. I don't want to belittle Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what I mean? That's not my job here. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest man that ever lived. I'm not arguing on that. He might have known everything. I'm learning a Gemara Chagiga. One Monday, Emma says only klolos were given in Sinai, which would satisfy Reb Sajja Gaon also. And one Monday, Emma says even protests were given in Sinai. The machloek is how were they makav the Kabbalas from Sinai and on till they learned all the halachas. Did they do it right away the right way, or did they did not have all the halachas and was a progress? It's a Gemara Chagiga. I can't, you know, I don't pick sides in Tanoim. It's a machloekes. Now, the Rambam paskins one way or another. I don't know if he does here or not, but I don't pick sides.
No, Pesach Sheni and the Nos Halacha issues happened later on.
Correct.
So, were they really
taught? That's a good question. I don't know the answer. I mean, you're asking if everything was given in Sinai, so why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know the halacha of Pesach Sheni? And why did he know the halacha of Benayis Lavchad? And he didn't know Mekaychish, and he didn't know Megadev. Four things. I don't know. The answer is I don't know. Yes?
Because Talmud is great because it's four, so there's Kala greater than Trumos.
Don't know how to answer that. I don't know. I don't know. Interestingly, just as an aside, you, not you, your wife is Mafresh Chala. She's not separating Truma. Now, it's rabbinic to be Mafresh Chala in Chutz La'aretz, but notice that they only made you be Mafresh Chala. Historically speaking, there was a time that they made you do Truma in the vicinity of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not what we do anymore. There is no Truma in Chutz La'aretz. No Maishas in Chutz La'aretz. But there is Chala. Your wife is Mafresh Chala. Right? So Chala is different than the other mitzvahs. They did make a Chiyuv Drabanan of Chala across the globe, which they didn't do for Trumas and Maishas. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I was hoping Archko would like me, but obviously nobody's noticed anything that enlightens me. I don't know. Don't think of my writer. Ukshem shalim but kainim lamaisa, kakdina kainim lamaisa. Just like learning is before you do mitzvahs, a person gets judged for learning before he gets judged for mitzvahs. In Rav Nuna. Namer Rav Nuna enki lezina shal adam al adivri taira. Shnamer paiter mayim reishis madain. How does he translate it literally? Paiter mayim. Somebody who removes water is the first.
It's releasing. Releasing.
Releasing water is the first judgment. So Trashi, Tchilas Dinai, Yayim Adin, upstairs. Tchilas Tria Shalom, Emalo Yasakta Batira. First question will be, why didn't you learn? Paiter mayim, Apirik El Tira, Rachis Madnu. So a person's first judgment will be Tyra. Frank Tysus, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbat that they ask him six questions, and the first question they ask the person was he was honest. So Tysus answers, they ask that as the first question, but the first punishment comes from Limud HaTorah. That's what Tysus answers. Others want to say that first they ask him why he didn't learn Tyra. Then he asked, this is the Tysus of Rosh Hashanah, not mine. Then, what? Gemara and Shabbos, Daflam and Aleph and Aleph. If you take a look at Tysus, he brings it. Then they ask him, why didn't you learn? So he says, I had business. So they said, were you honest? Meaning, first of the six questions happens after the original question. Then after he answers that question, they say, but you still have to learn Torah. Kavati itim l'Torah? You might have been busy, so you couldn't learn the Torah all the time, but did you have time set aside for Torah? So the way the Tysus of Rosh learns, before the six questions, they had a question. Why didn't you learn? I had a business. I had to earn a living. Okay, were you honest? Question one. Question two. While you had your business, did you set aside time for learning? So that's how the Tysus of Rosh learns, answers the question of the Gemara Shabbos had the order different than a Muslim. Others want to say, I forgot who said this, but this I heard many years ago, that the first thing they want to know if the person is honest, because they have to make sure that the Limud HaTorah was done with an honest person, honestly. So first let's establish that the guy is honest, and then when he's honest, then we ask him, okay, so why did you learn? Yeah, but a dishonest person is treated differently completely. Again, it's a third shot I once heard. I don't know if you know. Yes, Rabbi Cohen.
So pouring old Torah doesn't mean he didn't. Usually, most people would think pouring old Torah means he just is a vagabond, he's a loser. It doesn't mean that. Then he didn't learn. Doesn't mean
exactly. You just read it.
It doesn't mean pouring old Torah.
I heard you.
I don't know if the class heard me. I'm trying to say that it doesn't mean he just was. Didn't do anything. He did a lot of mitzvahs also, right?
Yes. Yes. I agreed the first time, yes. Rashi learns Parag Ol Torah means he doesn't learn. Don't think my vaitik shame should hina kaidim lamaisa kachskara kaidim lamaisa. Should have a vitzel my marches goyim, he gave the hidden lands of the nations, v'amalu umim yirashu, and the toil of the nations they inherited, v'avu yishmeru chukav, because they kept his chukim, and yishmeru means learning, v'seraisav yintzairu, and they kept his mitzvahs. So first yishmeru chukav, then seraisav yintzairu. Rashi, k'shem shedin peronius, taira kaim ledin peronius maisa, person gets punished for taira before the lack of mitzvahs, Takskare of Asik Mataira Kaidam Laskar Maisa. Babi Ishmer Chukav, Amar Marlel, Tishmer Zumiz Mishnah, means learning, Insairu Yakaimu. Dr. Gamar Viter, Kosha Eina Loibe Mikro Beloibe Mishnah. It says, if he doesn't do the three of them, Eina Menayishuv, Amar Abyechen, and Apostle Eidus. Anybody that's not part of the community, meaning he's not. How does he translate Eben Ayishuv? He probably has a better word than I come up with. He's not part of society. That's what he says. Whatever it is, Dr. Rashi, Kibush Eben Ayishuv, Eben Makbar Alatzmai. He's a guy that doesn't take care of himself. Ain Loi Baishus Fundam, he has no embarrassment. And therefore, he's Pasalatus. Not somebody we can rely on. He has no self esteem. A person who has no Torah, no Mishnah, no Mikra, no Mishnah, no Derech Eretz. No way, according to the Rambam, dealing with people, according to Rashi, nothing to keep him busy, is a non-producing member of society. Non-producing members of society have low self-esteem. Low self-esteem people cannot be trusted because they have no, doesn't mean anything to them. Nothing means them. There's no sense of embarrassment of trying to keep a certain level. I'll talk about it. Eating in public is like a dog. Now here is a big shiloh mishaynim. What is forbidden to be aichu b'shuk? To what extent? Some say it's only a meal. If you eat a meal in a public area, middle of the street, you sit down. Some say it's only if you sit down and you convey on it. Some say it doesn't apply to a snack, doesn't apply to a drink. Reb Chaim Kanevsky has a shiloh, can you eat on a bus? Is that called Eichel B'shuk? So he talks about it. He says it's maybe not halacha of Eichel B'shuk, but it's not to be recommended that a person should sit and eat his meal on the bus. He says on a car, if a person's on his way in a car to go do something like learning, so the people with him understand he's trying to save time to go learn or something like that, then he's allowed to do it. But stam, to eat publicly is not coveting. It's not self-esteem. A person with self-esteem eats privately, doesn't eat publicly. What that means to restaurants, and what that means, I was once in a restaurant and you sat, mamish, there was a window, and you were by, it was on 13th Avenue, and I was sitting in the restaurant with my class. I felt like I was sitting in the middle of 13th Avenue, you know what I mean? Like everybody walks by has to see exactly what you're eating. That, I felt Eichel B'shuk at that point. I'm not here to criticize anything. Yes, I'm in Pasolatus.
Rabbi?
Doesn't have self-esteem. Ain't a bash the zalz of atzmai. He doesn't have any self-worth, belifto, and therefore he becomes puzzle. And to become puzzle,
Rabbi, can I ask a question? Can I ask a question about the previous?
Yeah, let me just finish before we jump back. And that is becomes a big shaila. What if society starts eating in public? This becomes because it's a lack of self-esteem. People with self-respect don't do certain things in public. What if it became society that now people do things like that in public? I don't know the answer to the question. Halacha does not deal with it directly. I'm sure somebody must, I didn't see. But this is a question, meaning once upon a time, regular human beings didn't eat in public. Eating was something you did in private. You ate in private. You did things in private. You didn't do things in public. There's still things we don't do in public for self-esteem. Right? If we saw a person defecating in public, like in San Francisco, right? So then, shot is, it becomes, there's no self-esteem. There's nothing. He's not a human. He's not acting in any human respect. There's no, that's the person that's at Daimon Lekelev for Pasolatus. Right? Mashenkin today, that eating in public is an accepted thing. Right, people sit outside in the middle of who knows where eating meal. I don't know. I'm not posculating. I'm just bringing up the Shaila. I'm leaving it without an answer. Yes, Harvey.
I was just commenting on what I perceive as the harshness of Rabbi Yochanan's statement about those who don't study and that reflecting a lack of self-respect. There are people that are inherently honest, and there are people who are inherently dishonest. They have a lot of trouble telling the truth. There are people who have difficulty studying, and we've all known lots of people who may have difficulty studying who are extremely honest people.
I think, Harvey, we're going back to that same question before. I was talking about a person that has three things. He doesn't learn Mikra, he doesn't learn Mishnah, and one of the two pshatim in Derech Eretz. The Rambam shot is, doesn't know how to react within people. He's not capable of normal human interactions with society. So those are, it's all three, not one of the three. All three. The Rashi, as we will see, but if we're going to get there today, I doubt it, says that Ein of a Derech Eretz means doesn't keep himself occupied. He's a loafer. Does nothing with his time. Zero. These people have no self-respect. I don't think Rabbi Yochanan is talking about the person who has difficulty studying. He could be a very honest person, difficulty studying, and Rabbi Yochanan is not talking about him. He has self-respect. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a person that has no self-respect. The Raya is, he doesn't study, doesn't try to study, and he doesn't know how to interact with people. We'll take the Rambam shot. Doesn't interact socially with people. Doesn't know how to deal with people. That person is not a person that has any self-esteem to be trusted with anything because there's no sense of embarrassment. I think you're still going with the thing that's saying any one of the three missing.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
He'll lie.
He's not a you can't rely on him. He's just not. He has no self-esteem. He has nothing to keep him from lying.
Daimon Lekelev is also a way of saying.
Daimon Lekelev means he acts like a non-human. Dogs eat in public. Humans eat in private. People always ask me if I eat out. I say I eat with my fingers. I like to eat at home.
To refer back to the question you asked earlier, it would seem that there is a certain amount of social impetus to that. I mean, it was common not only in times of Gestalt, but through to the 19th century that if a man needed to urinate, he simply walked into an alley and urinated against the nearest wall.
Right.
And this would be true to a lesser extent of women as well, that their clothes were such that they could not be taken off specifically while standing, would go. And that was normal behavior.
Again, I'm not here. I comment. I just was reading the Gemara.
Yeah.